Thank you, Fran. My name's Irena. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you for inviting me to your meeting, particularly since, as you can tell from my accent, I'm British and it's American Independence Day. So yes, it's a very memorable date. I'm delighted to be here, and I want to start with apologies. My fault. I didn't realize it was a 1 hour meeting. I will have to go at 1:30 because it's my working day and I have a work meeting to get to. I've been in OA for about 8 years. When I first came into OA, I was absolutely desperate. I think I've always been a compulsive overeater. My fondest memories as a child, and very clear memories, are of the wonderful food that there was. And particularly on festival days, how great that food was, and I can remember it now over half a century on. But most of the time, I was a pretty normal weight. There's one exception. In the last year of primary school, my best friend left for another school. You're 10 to 11 in the UK in the last year of primary school. My best friend left to another school, and it's about the age where children discover difference. And I have a foreign Christian name and a foreign surname, and they all decided I was a foreigner. If it had been a school in the States, it would have been in the sort of area they'd called poor white trash. And every time I left the house, I got beaten up. And being a very bright kid, I figured out that I wouldn't leave the house. So I stayed home and I ate and I ate and I ate and I ate. And I was convinced that if I took a certain food item from the larder in threes, Mum wouldn't notice they were gone. Mum must have noticed they were gone. We would have a truckloads of delivery of that particular food substance to our house every week. I ballooned. I was enormous. In those days, videos were very rare. But after about 6 months or so of missing out on school entirely, I saw a video of myself in the background, trousers rolled up, splashing in a puddle. And I was huge, and it was such a shock. I had no idea I was that size. I was enormous. And I put myself on a diet because I was that sort of 11-year-old. And it was a very sensible diet. You counted 30 points a day. I ate all sorts of healthy foods in healthy amounts because I'd got through to the local grammar school. It was an area that had selective schooling, and I didn't want to start senior school fat. And I didn't. By the time I got to senior school, I was a perfectly normal weight. I didn't have a perfectly normal head. And very few teenage girls these days have perfectly normal heads about the size they are. I went through my teenage years restricting my eating considerably, and under the impression I was still enormous. When you look at the very few photos of me that exist from those times, you can see that I am thin as anything. And the general impression is, who put a dress on that stick insect? But I was convinced I was fat. I restricted what I ate, and I stayed reasonably thin. And I carried on staying reasonably thin through my 20s and really thin in my 30s. I smoked like blazes, but I was quite slim. And then I got into a relationship with someone who was an alcoholic, a drug addict, and who was very, very violent. And I had very little self-esteem. I found it very difficult to put into words what my feelings were. I blamed myself, and I ate, and I ate, and I ate, and I ate. I put on 8¾ stone, so over 100 pounds, not quite doubling my body weight, but very close to it. I was enormous. I was,
5 minutes.
thank you. I was top end of the size 24s in the UK, size 26s in the States. I couldn't walk without sticks. I couldn't sit in theatre seats. I struggled to sit in airplane seats and I needed extenders. I felt humiliated every time I left the house. I couldn't bend my legs to put on my socks. And for years, a friend had been telling me about OA. You know, it's she had gone to OA. She'd found a lot of recovery there, and she would tell me about it, and I would think, that's great, that's fantastic, that's super. I don't have time. I don't have time. I've got a busy professional job. I've got a child. I'm a single parent. I don't have time to be faffing around, going out in the evenings and going to these groups. It sounds great. And then one day I got the gift of desperation. I got the gift of desperation. I went on my computer. I looked up OA. I also looked up pay to way groups. And on the same afternoon, I joined both. And the pay to way group happened to be the day before my first OA meeting. And at the pay to way group, I mentioned to the woman standing behind me in the queue, yeah, you know, this is my first meeting, and I've joined this, and I've also joined Overeaters Anonymous. I'm going to go to my first meeting tomorrow. And she said, oh, yes, OA, she said. I used to be a member of that, and do you know, it's the only thing that has ever worked and helped me lose weight. And I thought, if OA is the only thing that has ever worked and helped you lose weight, what are you doing behind me in the queue in this pay-to-way group? And the next day I went to my first OA meeting, and it was slightly strange. Yeah, I certainly didn't speak. Don't think I spoke for 6 weeks. People were very friendly. They kept leaving expectant silences for me to speak, and I kept looking at my feet. And from my first OA meeting, I managed to put down sugar. I don't know how I did it. I put down sugar. I wish I could tell you. I got totally abstinent from my first OA meeting, and I didn't, because I have a disease that is cunning and baffling and powerful. And it will find all sorts of other things for me to get hooked on if I can't have sugar. But from my first OA meeting to this day, I have not had refined sugar, which is such a blessing. And I couldn't give it up before that meeting. I couldn't stop eating before that meeting. I would go into the local shop, and I would come out laden with bags and bags and bags of sweet things to eat, as I was telling myself, I'm not going to do that. And I stopped doing that because OA ruins a good binge. But my disease found other ways to come out. I have low blood sugar. And because I have low blood sugar, I decided that my abstinence was going to be 3 meals a day plus a couple of abstinence snacks in between. Okay, fine. And the abstinence snacks would stretch into the meals. And the meals would stretch into the abstinence snacks, and there wasn't much gap, and I'd be grazing most of the day. And I wouldn't stick to the amounts. And after it was probably a year or two in OA, the favour I did myself was that the person I went to for advice, I knew would give me tough advice. There are some people who are soft touches, there are some people who are tough. And I went to someone who was tough. And I said, what am I going to do? I can't keep abstinent. I keep trying. I keep trying. I can't keep abstinent. And she said, stop the snacks. I thought, I can't stop the snacks. I can't stop the snacks. I'm special. My blood sugar is wonky. I need the snacks. And I agonized about this for a few days. And then I thought, I've got to stop the snacks, haven't I? Yes. I stopped the snacks. Giving up sugar was easy. Giving up those snacks was like giving up heroin. For nearly 3 weeks, I was holding on to furniture. I was shaking. I was having temperatures. I was so ill, all for giving up snacks, but I managed it. And I stopped eating those snacks.
10 minutes.
Thank you, Judy. And my abstinence now is 3 meals a day with nothing in between. Two exceptions. One is if my blood sugar does go wonky, because that does happen. And what I found was that if I'm eating properly and my 3 meals a day, and if I'm doing some exercise, which really helps me regulate my blood sugar, then my blood sugar will occasionally go wonky, but it will occasionally go wonky, maybe 2 or 3 times a year. And when I feel a little bit ill because my blood sugar has gone wonky, I will then have a small amount of something to eat to regulate it. So I was having 2 and sometimes 3 snacks a day for fear of something that happens 2 or 3 times a year and isn't frankly that bad for me when it happens. And when it happens now, I deal with it. I tell my sponsor at the end of the day, blood sugar went a bit wonky, had this to cope with it, all fine now. And the other time I will allow myself a snack is if a meal is going to be very unusually late. So if my evening meal is going to be 3 hours late or something, I will have a very small snack at the normal time I would eat, because otherwise I'll be taking bites out of the person next to me by the time my evening meal comes along, and my blood sugar could well go wonky. I'll be getting hungry. I'll be getting very angry. This is not good for my program. And because I do this, and I leave at least 4 hours between meals, I feel so much better about myself. I've suddenly gained more time in my day to fit other things in. Absolutely wonderful. I managed to lose a considerable amount of weight. Still not down to a healthy body weight, but so much better than I was before. I recently had an OA reset. I've been meaning to do it for some time, partly because a bit of weight has gone on for two reasons. The doctor put me on a certain sort of medication, which is very important, very necessary for my health. One of the side effects is, guess what? Your weight goes up. And the other was at the start of this year, I was ill with an illness that had a long period of post-viral fatigue for about 4 months. So for about 4 months, I did no exercise at all because I couldn't. Which was fine. And the blessing was that I didn't binge. And when I was in the food, being ill and being bored and lying in bed was definitely a cue to me to binge. However, because I did no exercise at all, I've put on some weight. And as a result, I've now got tendonitis in both Achilles tendons. So doctors barred me from walking for 3 months, and I spent a week getting very frustrated and very annoyed at this, and you should have heard my 10 steps. And then I thought, got to accept this, got to accept the fact I can't walk, and walking is the main exercise I take. I love getting out of the house. I love the escape in the local parks. I love the fresh air. It's such a blessing. Can't do that. And as it turns out, just before one of my 10th steps on this, I'm an academic, and it was our faculty research away day. And one of the sessions there was a few senior academics talking about their failures in the profession. So junior academics would see people don't have it easy, look at the way people bounce back from failures. And I came out of that session and had to make a 10th step call. And I had that call all planned out, and I changed what I was going to say just before I dialed the phone, because I thought this can be a failure which I can reset. I've been meaning to reset my food for a while. Okay, let me reset my food. It's also a great opportunity to do some new forms of exercise I don't normally do that don't aggravate my tendons. I have a lovely exercise bike just over there that has been
15
sadly
minutes.
neglected. Thank you, Judy. That has been sadly neglected. Let me go back to it. And I did my 10-step call and I felt so happy doing that call. It felt amazing. And since then, I have been on my exercise bike. I have been redoing my food plan. And I even tried Pilates. I lasted about a minute and a half. So this is definitely something that I need to work on because it looked so easy and I couldn't believe how difficult it was. So that's definitely a challenge for me. I need to try another minute and a half of that. And since my reset, I feel great. I feel like my OA program has been absolutely renewed. It's so wonderful. What bits do I think I do right in OA? The thing I think I do right is whether I was in the food or out of it, whether I'd relapsed or was renewed, I kept coming back. I kept coming to meetings. My favourite tradition is tradition three, which is the only requirement for OA membership, is a desire to stop eating compulsively. I cannot tell you how many times I have sat in OA rooms in church halls in the days before Zoom, feeling such a failure. Everyone else in the room was clearly working a wonderful program, and I'd been eating all week. And then someone read Tradition Three, and I relaxed, and I thought, I belong here too. And it was wonderful. What else do I do right? I do give service and I enjoy giving service, but I also try to limit the service I give because I'm a bit of a control freak and my natural tendency is to take over everything and volunteer for everything. And I'll do that and I'll do that role. And that isn't good for my program and it isn't good for me. And I'm slowly realizing it's not good for the other people in the room either. Because they should have an opportunity to do the service jobs that I might hog. I also do 10-step calls every day. I'm very bad at talking about my emotions, and the 10th step, and particularly the 10-step train, has been such a blessing. I've met wonderful people there, and I have to talk about my emotions. And it's so helpful. And sometimes it's the ordinary, boring, mundane stuff of someone gave me a funny look in the queue in the supermarket. And sometimes it's really big things that I didn't know I've been feeling for years. What could I do more of? I could do more outreach. I find it hard. And when I'm doing outreach, I feel so good. And I love it when people reach out to me. And what could I do more of? Focus on my food plans more, which I've started to do, and it feels great. So, thank you for inviting me. Thank you so much for asking me to speak in your lovely meeting. I know I benefit so much from hearing other people's shares, and it's been such a privilege to talk to you today.